Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're learning how to become an influencer.
Listen and say, how did that make you feel? And are you okay? And what did that mean to her? And listen, because in all of that, what she really wants, what she really, really, really wants, is she wants to feel like you care about her heart, about her soul, about her feelings, about who she is, because she wants to feel valued by you.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Today, as we move forward in our series, Headlines, Navigating Life in Two Worlds, we're going to be looking at how we can affect our relationships for the better. And if you've missed any of the messages in this study from the book of 1 Peter, make sure you catch up online at boldstepsradio.org. You'll also find videos and articles and all sorts of tools and resources to help you take that next bold step in your walk of faith. Right now, let's get started with today's lesson from 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's Mark Job.
Since 2012, there has been an escalation in the amount of college-age girls that are suffering from isolation, depression, anxiety, and suicidal ideation. And when they try to find the roots of that, why it's escalating so much in these past days, they attribute, largely it's attributed to the effects of social media. Why? Because in social media, you're always seeing people at their best. I don't remember the last time I saw an Instagram post when someone says, I'm having a terrible hair day. Boy, did I look ugly today. I'm frumpy. It's always like you just got out of the beauty shop. You know, come on, don't you know that you looked for the time you feel like, I'm looking good today, man. This is the time for an Instagram. Oh, just going to the grocery store. No, you're not doing it because you're going to the grocery store. You're doing it because you think you look good today. And so you're putting it there. And other people see that and they think, wow, they always look good. I don't look as good as that. Or relational aggressiveness. This comparison mentality. And there's a fixation with the external, but listen, the real beauty that you exercise is not just the external. The real beauty that you exercise is the quality of your heart, the beauty of your soul. And what Peter is telling wives in this context is you want to influence your husband. It's the inner, unfading beauty of the heart, a heart that's not filled with aggressive anger, so there's a gentleness there. There's a beauty, a sweetness of the heart because you're not cluttered with that. And there's a spirit that listens. He calls it a quiet spirit, but this is not talking about a mousy woman that doesn't have a voice. This is talking about a strong woman that has the ability to restrain herself, ability to know when to speak, an ability, a woman that's not been damaged by a crassness and a hardness and a resentment that's about her heart, but there's a purity of her soul because she worships before God and she knows who she is before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, which is of great worth in the sight of God. By the way, Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And he goes on to say, so not only supportive affirmation of their leadership, of feminine beauty. And lastly, number three, it says a faith-filled hope. And notice what he says, for in this way, the holy women in the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands like Sarah who obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Let me tell you this. Fear is never a good reason or never a good driving force in our life. What is he saying in this passage? What he's saying is that the biggest reason that you as a wife find it hard to follow the leadership of your husband at times, and there's a resistance and a pull and a fight and a aggravation and a going back and forth, oftentimes it's there because of fear. What if he hurts me? What if he lets me down? What if he doesn't have my best interest in mind? Oftentimes fear because of experience and hurt and disappointment and unfaithfulness and abuse. And when your heart gets cluttered with fear of, can I trust him? Can I love him? Can I follow? It gets cluttered with fear. Then what happens is when there's fear there, there'll always be a distance. I'll get so close, but I'm not going to get hurt again. Now that helps you protect your heart, but it also impedes you and hinders you from intimacy that God has called you to. You see, you can't really love from a distance. There has to come a point in time where we say, there's a risk that's involved in this, and ultimately I'm going to trust God and I'm going to believe God, but I cannot love. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. I cannot love unless I'm willing to put some of those fears aside and say, God, I'm going to operate in faith and not in fear, because ultimately you are in control of all things, and I'm going to trust you, God, even though it may be hard to love and really trust you, God. Can I tell you, it doesn't just affect married women, it affects single women as well. You may be in a situation where it's really hard, and maybe you've dated up until the point of marriage and backed out oftentimes because in the back of your mind you saw a terrible marriage of your parents, or you were hurt before because of some dating relationship that you were in, and it keeps playing over and over in your mind, what if they're the same? What if they hurt me? Can I trust them? And ultimately, what Peter is telling these women is you have influence, but you're not going to be able to fully love. You're not going to be able to fully influence. You're not going to be able to be fully one unless you embrace a spirit of faith that says, God, I'm going to trust you, and this is a risk that I'm taking, and I can't operate with the spirit of fear as I move forward in this relationship. And you are children of Sarah. Abraham was the father of faith, not the father of fear. And Abraham and Sarah were parents of faith who gave birth to Isaac, who in later on gave birth to the entire nation of Israel, and he was called the father of faith. And so he's using this as Sarah is not the mother of fear, but she was the mother of faith. Faith is saying, I trust God, I believe God. And ultimately, if your faith is in a person, they will disappoint you. Hello. If your faith is in your spouse, they will disappoint you. But ultimately, you're saying, I'm not trusting my spouse above everything else. I'm trusting God above everything else. And God is above and beyond all. And I'm trusting that God will lead in this relationship. I know that that is challenging. And for some of you women that are sitting right here right now, some of you married wives, you're saying, well, Pastor, you don't know my husband. You're not married to my husband. And I know, and thank God I'm not. On multiple fronts, thank God I'm not. But ultimately, Peter is not asking you to condone your husband. You may be married to a tyrant. I don't know. A brash individual. You may be married to a person that is angry. Maybe you're married to a person that struggles with addiction. Maybe you're married to a person that's the farthest thing of a man of God that we can think of. And you've put up and you've tolerated. And I think the essence of what the Apostle Peter is saying is, listen, you can't control, manipulate, or alter your husband. But you are responsible for your heart. So do not let your heart get cluttered with impurity. Do not let yourself become a bitter, angry, aggressive, joyless embittered woman that lives her life in this angry fashion as she goes about things, because you'll project that towards God and towards others. Keep your heart clean from the impurity and the effects of hurt in your heart. You cannot control what other people do, but you can control the response of your heart. Keep your heart in the right place.
We're going to pause Mark Job's message on Bold Steps for just a moment to say that we'd really love to connect with you, and there's several ways you can connect with us. You'll find us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. That's a fun way, of course. You can drop us a line at boldstepsradio.org through our website. And speaking of connecting with us, Mark, there's an Ask a Question feature on that website that listeners can submit a question for you to address. And we don't get to answer all of them on the program here, but occasionally you say yes.
Yeah, and we love hearing from our listeners.
Right, of course. Here's the question of the day. Hi, Pastor Mark. I listened to you in South Florida on WRMB at work during my lunch break. The messages you bring always get my attention. I'm a Christian woman, married, but my husband is unsaved and not a follower of Christ. Because of this, our marriage has been a never-ending cycle of stress, hurt, pain, and disappointment. I have given up hope. I'm asking for your advice. How do I know if God wants me to remain in a marriage where the husband willingly does not want to know the Lord?
Yeah, thank you, Luann. There are so many people in a situation similar to yours, and my heart goes out to you because I know that there's probably a lot of tears that go with this email. A couple of things I'm going to say to you. I want to say thank you for your perseverance. I know that it's difficult to remain in a marriage that isn't what you expect it to be. I also want to say, Luann, that your journey does not have to be alone. In fact, here's what I know. Whether he is a believer or not a believer, it is God's will that your marriage would work out. In fact, the Bible says that you as a believer have a sanctifying effect on your husband who's a non-believer. It doesn't mean that he's saved, but it means that because you know the Lord, there is a sanctifying effect that God treats him in a different way because he's married to you. Now, I know that doesn't make your marriage any easier, but I want you to know that you are having an influence on your husband's life, and you may not see that or not. So I want to encourage you to get into counseling if you're not in counseling. Get a good Christian counselor. If your husband would be willing to go to counseling, whether a Christian or non-Christian, sometimes a third party really helps us out. If your husband's not willing to go to counseling, I would encourage you to stay in counseling and get into a small group with other women that have been through similar stories that encourage you, because I believe that it's God's will for your marriage to turn around, for you to stay in the marriage and work on that marriage as much as possible. There's only a few things that Jesus says are there that allow us to escape our marriage. Hardship, difficulty, stress is not one of them. So I'm praying that God would give you the grace and strength to have a renewed vision and hope for your marriage.
God bless you, Luann. Our good friend, Dr. Gary Chapman, says very often, there's always hope.
Absolutely. And Luann, I want to encourage you, if you've lost that hope, it's time to go to God and say, Lord, give me a fresh vision for my marriage.
God bless you, Luann. Thank you for writing to us through our website, boldstepsradio.org. All right, speaking of husbands and wives, let's get back into today's message with Mark Job.
Husbands, in the same way. He said, wives, in the same way. Husbands, in the same way. In the same way as what? Hey, if you're living in a relationship that's not perfect, if you're living in a relationship that doesn't seem just, if you don't feel like your wife is responding the way you expect her to respond, if you don't feel like your wife is that ideal woman that you wanted her to be, if you're somewhat discontent with it, in the same way, he says, he gives us three things. Be considerate as you live with your wife. So number one, write this down, men. Influence her by treating her with consideration. This word, by the way, be considerate, is from the word knowledge. What he's telling husbands is, husbands, I want you to be a student of your wife. I want you to operate, I want you to live with her with knowledge. In other words, understanding her. And you say, Pastor, you got me there. I've been trying to understand my wife for 20 years. Impossible. What he's saying to you, husbands, is as you live with your wife, make it your intent, make it your goal to listen, to learn, to value, to understand what makes your wife tick, her emotions, her dreams, her goals. Listen, the number one complaint I get over and over and over and over from wives as they sit in my office is this: I just want my husband to care about me. I want him to listen. I want to feel important, like I matter. We as husbands, we tend to be infamous bad listeners. And now add technology with it, so everybody has a smartphone. And you say, Pastor, I listened to her. Yeah, with the smartphone in one hand, with the TV going off in the other hand, and when she talks, you try to say, well, I would just do this. Can I give you an exercise? How about if you decide to tell your wife, hey, let's you and I go out. And you sit down with her at a meal without a phone, leave your phone at home, get a babysitter, find a quiet place, look her straight in the eyes and say to her, how are you doing? And when she starts talking about the kids and talking about work, say, no, I want to know how you're doing. How are you feeling? And how do you think we're doing? Half of them would say, what did you do? Did you get a doctor's report? Are you dying? Who did you mess with? Is there something wrong? Because she would be shocked that you actually sit down. And when she starts talking, start listening to what she's doing. Don't interrupt. And by the way, she's going to talk, because a lot of women like to tell the whole story. She's going to say, well, she said, and I said, and they said, and I said, and she was wearing this when she said it to me, and I was wearing that when they said it to me, and we did this, and I thought this, and I felt like that. And don't say, honey, get to the point. Just listen to her, and listen, and say, how did that make you feel? And are you okay? And what did that mean to her? And listen, because in all of that, what she really wants, what she really, really, really wants is she wants to feel like you care about her heart, about her soul, about her feelings, about who she is, because she wants to feel valued by you. And there's a powerful thing that happens, an incredible thing that happens, because there's a lot of women in marriages that feel like, hey, we live under the same roof, but we're disconnected. There's no intimacy. He barely knows who I am. And partly he barely knows who I am. And by the way, she's the priority over your job, over your friends, over your family, over your hobbies, over your electronics. She is the priority. She needs to know that you are super interested in who she is and how she's doing and where her heart is at and what her emotions are feeling like. So you need to listen to her. And by the way, men, can I tell you something? The side effect may be that you'll go home and have the best sex you've ever had in life. But that... Ladies, I have to give them a little incentive to be able to practice these things good. So if not, they... Then he goes on to say, not only treat her with consideration, but then he says, influence her by treating her as someone precious. Treat them, speaking to husband, it says, with respect. And by the way, this word respect literally is the word honor. Treat them with honor. And the word honor means treat them with value. Treat them as an important individual that has high value. Listen, as a weaker partner, and by weaker, it doesn't mean weaker of mind, weaker of spirit, weaker of soul. As a better word for that, treat them as a delicate partner. They're not a buddy. They're not this guy. They are a woman. God has created them with a feminine sensitivity that you should appreciate and value. And so treat them as a delicate partner, honoring their value of who they are, which means she's not your old lady. She's your woman. You treat your wife with respect. You honor her. You let her know how valuable she is. You expect and require your children to speak with her with respect. And I can guarantee your daughter is going to grow up and she's going to look for a man. She will accept nothing less than the respect that she deserves, because she will know, my father has loved me. I've been taught, I've been trained what's right and what's wrong. I've been coached in this way. And by the way, your sons will learn the same thing. If you don't treat your wife with respect, they will one day, you will have your daughter-in-law coming to your house and saying, what's wrong with your son? And you'll have to say, hey, what's wrong with my son is they were trained not to treat a woman with respect. And then he goes on, and lastly, and influence her by treating her as a spiritual partner. So he says, as a partner, as heirs with you, in other words, co-heirs, in other words, they inherit with you. They're inheritors with you, not under you, but with you, of the gracious gift of life. That your wife is a spiritual partner with you, a daughter of the Most High God, like you are a son of the Most High God, and a co-heir of all the riches that come from God upon you. Listen, treat them as a co-heir so that nothing will hinder your prayers. God says, by the way, if you're not listening to your wife, if you're not listening to her, trying to understand what she's saying, listening to her heart and treating her with value, then I'm not going to listen to you that well either. He says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. You don't want to listen to your wife. You don't want to hear her heart. You don't want to treat her as a co-heir. Then you know that promotion you're praying for, that job opportunity you've been praying for, that breakthrough that you've been praying through. Listen, I'm not going to hear it that well, because I want you to treat your wife the way you should, and then I'm going to hear your prayers as well. It says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. God is using leverage. You say, no, Pastor, man, I've been praying and seeking God. I've been fasting for this promotion. Man, I've been saying, oh, Lord, I've been praying. And your wife walks in the room and she says, out of here, woman, I'm praying. Don't you see? I'm praying. I'm seeking God for this promotion. And God wants to say, some of you need to stop fasting, take your wife out for lunch, listen to her heart, treat her with respect. And then God says, now you've listened to your wife. Now finally I can listen to you, because now you're showing that you're listening to that person that I put in your life as well. It gives you some of your spiritual breakthrough in life is going to come when a breakthrough happens with your wife.
Wow, that came way too fast. So important, though. Thank you, Mark. I'm sure we could spend several more days on this topic, because the Bible obviously has much more to say. How our relationships are greatly influenced by our self-identity.
It really is, and it is convicting.
It is, yeah.
But the essence of what you just heard right now is, if you're going to be, listen, a man of God, it starts with being a man that listens to his wife and treats her in a way that brings out the best in her.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. Let me change gears. You know, when Billy Graham was in his 90s, he explored the challenges of aging while gleaning important spiritual truths from Scripture. His book, called Nearing Home, Life, Faith, and Finishing Well, is an honest and compassionate look at what it's like to get older, the trials and triumphs of retirement, and the treasures that long outlive us. We'll be happy to send you this insightful resource when you support the Ministry of Bold Steps with a donation of any amount. Ask for the book, Nearing Home, when you call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or give online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, you can also send a one-time gift in the mail and address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Again, 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And when you commit to give a gift of $30 or more each month, we'll also send you a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call, plus several other bonuses, including an exclusive bi-weekly Bold Partner Post video email and discounted access to titles in the Moody Publishers catalog. Partnering with us has never been easier, so please sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. And then don't forget, you can always catch Bold Steps and our sister program, Bold Steps Weekend, on your favorite smart device. No matter where you are and what you're doing, you'll never miss a minute of Mark's bold and insightful teaching. Download the Moody Radio app today, or learn more when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Well, that's all the time we have. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow when Mark begins part one of the final message in this series. We'll be looking at how to survive a spiritual attack, and you won't want to miss it. So be listening to Friday's edition of Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.